In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. First, I would like to wish all of you many happy returns for celebrating today the feast of the Assumption, of the revealing of the Assumption of the body of the Holy Saint Mary. One thing in common among maybe most of the people is that their love for Saint Mary and how they always keep her fast and come to this blessed day to celebrate the feast of Saint Mary. And Saint Mary, of course, we always reflect on her virtues and many things we learn from her. For us, she is the main intercessor for our salvation. And for us also, she is a symbol, an icon of humility. And talking about humility is talking about God himself. We know her after her famous saying, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord." So today we are going to talk about this. Saint Mary being an icon of humility, and what can we learn from her, and what is the path to the virtue of humility. In her life, there are many occasions where we can look and be amazed how she was able to keep herself in this kind of humble demeanor all through. She was the maidservant of the Lord when the angel came and told her about the incarnation of the Son of God from her. And she maintained this kind of characteristic for herself all through. Till today, Saint Mary is still a maidservant of the Lord. And she is still serving with him our salvation, running to our help, listening to our prayers, and bringing these prayers and supplications before the throne of God. How a person can maintain an attitude all through with all of the changes that can happen to him. This is the humility of Saint Mary. We learn from humility also how she gave up her will entirely from the beginning. Maybe at the beginning did not choose for herself to go to the temple. Her parents dedicated her to serve the temple of God. But after this, we find that she never said, "I wanted this or that." When they gave her in marriage to Saint Joseph the carpenter, no comment. When Saint Joseph told her, "We will go to Egypt," no comment as well. Coming back from Egypt, just yielding. All through, we never saw Saint Mary saying, I want this for myself, I prefer, I wish. It's something that's amazing for us today when we struggle maybe to accept many things that are happening around us. In her humility also, she gave us an example of endurance. Not only endurance of pain, but endurance of honor, which is more difficult, by the way. Many people, they fall whenever they are giving some kind of honor and authority or a status in life. A good example is Saul the king. This man in the Old Testament, at the beginning of his life, we find him so humble. When Samuel told him, "You will be a king," he was surprised and he said, "Whom I am and who is my tribe?" And he felt in himself, "I'm not worthy of this honor." Later on, when this honor was bestowed upon him, his heart changed. It changed in a very negative way. And we find him not listening to anyone and going in his rebellion and stubbornness to destroy himself and many of the people around him. Saint Mary was able to endure the honor that surpassed all other honors that we might think of. Another manifestation of her humility is her silence. We live in a world today where noise is around us. Everyone is talking, and even when people do not know exactly what they are talking about, they still want to say their opinion. The social media is this kind of expression where everyone is giving his opinion about everything, while most of the people who are talking really do not know what they are talking about. But they think that the world needs to hear them, and whatever they say is of value. Saint Mary could have written many books, and these books will be bestsellers, talking about her life with her son, God incarnate. And we never heard anything. She never wrote an epistle. She never gave a sermon. She had a lot to say, and she chose to be silent. How difficult we see this kind of example. How can difficult that we imitate this. Her serving attitude also is a manifestation of her humility. When she heard that Elizabeth was pregnant, she ran to help her. Even she was not called to do so. The angel just told her the news. When she was invited in the wedding of Cana of Galilee, and she knew that there is trouble, the people ran out of wine, she ran to her son and told him, they have no wine. And we wonder, how did you feel responsible for them? It's not your business. You are invited like anybody else. Many people will just choose to maybe look around and wonder why those people like invited all of this multitude if they cannot afford bringing enough wine for them. She had this servant heart. Everywhere she is, wherever situation she is at, she is looking after, how can I serve? All of this manifestation of humility. For us, what is the path to the virtue? And let me first at the beginning make a disclaimer that this is one of the things that definitely is a struggle for me. And I am sure it's a struggle for all of us. Don't take my words as this is something I attained. I am telling you, okay, how you attain humility. I believe we are all on this kind of path. And we are all struggling one way or another with our pride and our ego. What is the path? As we learn it from the scripture, what is the medicine that God gave to us? Because this is the beginning of every virtue. And without it, nothing else will be added. And I believe whenever God is to give any kind of honor or bestow any kind of grace upon a person, he will always measure the humility of this person. Can I give him without him or her being buffed up and being destroyed in her or his bright? This path is trodden by our Savior and his mother, the path to the virtue of humility. He emptied himself from his glory and he came to us as a slave, to serve among us as a servant. All who value the virtue of humility are walking on this difficult road. It is a very difficult one. And no one of us can attain any kind of advancement on this road unless God would work with us. And he will have mercy upon us to teach us how to be humble truly in heart. It is a difficult road because not many people are walking on it. And because in it, we have to go against everything the world is teaching us. The world is just like trying all the time to tell us about how you become first and you get everybody behind you. How you think of yourself and your advancement, and regardless of how this is going to impact the people around you in a negative way. It's about me and what I want, and how I satisfy my desires. This is what the world is preaching, is telling us every single day. To walk against all of this, definitely we are walking in the opposite direction. What is the steps taught to us by the scripture and by the teaching of the fathers to attain this great virtue? The first step is the realization of how proud we are. How miserable, actually, we are when it comes to this virtue of humility. And understand that it is our ego that's behind most of our trouble. Believe me, my brethren, I can look at myself and say, what is the biggest problem I have, myself, as a human being? I would find that most of my struggle, behind them, is my ego. If my ego would disappear entirely, I would surely maybe get rid of most of the troubles I endure because of it. And let me tell you some of the examples how this ego gets us in trouble. And we think it is others. It is them. It is not. Other people reveal to us that we have an illness. We have a tumor called the ego. This is what people are telling us. Not because of them being difficult or because they are we cannot live with them. All of this kind of stuff. Usually we solve it when we realize it is me, it is my problem. Some of the examples I will tell you about realizing that it is the ego that's hurting us above anything else. Avoiding the sacraments of confession. What is the reason? It is our ego. People make debates about, I should be confessing to God. There is no point in talking with another human being. It is not man-made. It is the scripture. It is all about, I wanted to shelter my ego. I do not want to be exposed. I do not want Abuna to think of me in a certain way. This is what is all it's all about. Arguing so not to admit fault. Even sometimes when we know that I am mistaken, I am wrong, but I will keep arguing and arguing because I do not want to admit that I am at fault and say I'm sorry. This is again, it is our ego. Judging others, seeing other people's mistakes under magnifying lenses. It is so easy, by the way, to spot other people's mistakes. Very easy. We all can do this like with no any kind of labor or toil. And so difficult to do what need to be done. Looking inside and see, it is me, it is my issue, that's not other people. Anger against others. How many times I did this? I was angry against other people and I was upset at them. Maybe I screamed, I yelled at them. It's not because of their mistake, it is because of my ego. Anger is one of the children of pride. Failing to forgive. Why it is so hard to forgive other people? It is my ego that is hurt and I will carry this to the grave. I'm not going to forgive because what was hurt was the God that is hiding inside my heart. The sense of entitlement, wherever we go, I am entitled to a special treatment. People ought to do me this, ought to deal with me in this way. Even sometimes, unfortunately, for example, in a family, the man would come and say, I am entitled for your honor. Honor is not something that people fight to attain. The Lord never fought for us in order for us to give him honor. It comes naturally because he is a servant, because he came to serve our salvation. Our children, unfortunately, are, in a way, we give them this sense that they are entitled. Whatever they ask is whatever that should be granted. Another also manifestation, being upset when corrected. And we find excuse. I don't mind hearing a correction, but the way it was told me was not the nicest. If you would tell me the correction another way, I maybe will listen to it. It is all about, again, sheltering the ego. I do not want anyone to tell me what to do. Holding high expectations on how others should treat us. I have in my mind how other people should treat me. Anything less, I would be offended and will accuse the people of being inconsiderate or they are not sensitive enough. Sometimes people say that I am very sensitive. I do not want people to, in a way, to hurt me. Maybe I need to ask myself if I am sensitive to other people's feelings as well. Being overly critical. And sometimes our children suffer from this. When a father or mother, all what they say is, you are doing something wrong, this is not right, you should not be doing that, you should be. All the time, with no even a time of like a break. Talking about ourselves and our achievements. Sometimes even lying about this. I have been doing this. This is what happened to me when I was a child. Telling all this kind of fairy tales about how great we are or we were. Seeking titles and posts and preeminence. I want to attain this kind of title in the church. Or title wherever I am. Getting angry at God himself. Accusing God himself that he is not sometimes know what he's doing. Sometimes we say statement like, I do not know what God is doing. We can say it in a way that reflect that I am ignorant. I just do not know. I don't understand. I want him to reveal. But when I say it, when I'm upset, as if like I am telling him, you do not know what you are doing. You need to do a better job. Maybe if you listen to me, I will let you know how you should do your role. Having a better way in my mind for every entity to function better while doing a lousy job with my own life. How many times people are talking about, and over the social media, about how the Pope should run the church. what he should be doing in order for the church to be in a better status. Why not to look at your own family and mind your own business and take care of your own children? Maybe this will be what need to be done. People sit behind their computers and write a recipe for how the world should be governed, while their basic function, what they are called to do, what they are entrusted over, they are not doing it in a correct way. What all of these are? All these are manifestations of our ego. So the first thing, and I think the most important step in our way, hopefully one day to attain humility, is to realize how proud we are, how miserable we are. And this is something, again, I'm not saying this in order for us to feel bad. It is the status of our illness. Me and you, and maybe before all of you. The second step on the path to the virtue is that we have to stop faking humility. Usually whenever we find it is difficult to attain something, we fake it. The words about, forgive me, I'm a sinner, samihni, ana khati, we just say it sometimes without really understanding or meaning it. Let us not do this. Let us not to try to pretend that this is because of our humility. I do not deserve, وفي الآخر I نتخانق على my right. If you really say you do not deserve anything, you walk with this attitude all through. The third step is the acts of mortification. Mortification meaning accepting death or making something to die. Like what? Like confession. When you go to confess, you are bringing yourself before the priest and accuse yourself of wrongdoing. I did this and this and this. I am not coming with myself as a lawyer to defend myself and say, but I am justified because others. No. It is because I am not a good person yet. Sadly, I see myself away from the image of Christ. This is an act of mortification for the ego. Another thing is fasting. I am not going to grant myself what I wish. I will just go against the inclination of the flesh. The act of obedience. We all love obedience whenever we demand it from others. But when it comes to the point, I need to be obedient to someone else, how difficult it is. When someone says, you have to convince me first so I can obey you. This is not obedience, by the way. Obedience that I put myself and my will in submission. How can you really tell Saint Mary or justify to her, okay, that you will go to Egypt and run from a king who is an earthly one while you are carrying in your hand the Son of God? What kind of conversation that can take place to persuade her that this is the right thing to do? She just obeyed. It's whatever God wants. Let it be as he said. The service of others. And when we say service, service with penitence. I am repenting and I serve. Not just I serve in order to feed more my ego. Another step on the path to the virtue of humility is prayers. Prayers in many ways help us to attain or to get there, or at least we struggle to be there. Why? Prayer tells me I cannot do it on my own. I need God in everything I'm struggling to attain. I do not pray because I feel I am content. In my mind, I am sufficient. I can do it. Those who pray are those people who feel in their heart they need God the most. Prayer also helps us to approach God as sinners. As the tax collector came, he could not even raise his eyes. He just looked down, knocked over his chest, and said, forgive me, I am a sinner. This attitude is helping us to always remind ourselves that how sinner we are and how we are in need of God's mercy. The metania, bowing to the ground, it's not by our own body but also with our own souls. I bow down in order to submit before God and say that I do not deserve to stand before you. Another step also taught to us by the fathers is taking the blame on ourselves. The easiest thing in this world is to blame others for our mistakes. It is he, she, others. And we can go with this kind of blame to the church, and after this we blame God himself. But when we do this, we never learn to be humble. But whenever we take it to ourselves, it is my mistake. I did something wrong. Even if other people wronged me, I still can say, but I did not do a good job. I could have dealt with this in a better way. It doesn't matter for me, whoever did whatever, what is my responsibility in this kind of issue or a problem? The sixth step is seeing that we are also stained with every blemish we accuse others of. Let me tell you, my brethren, and this is one of the things that in a way surprises me about myself, but this is a fact, a reality. When we speak about hypocrisy, okay, can I say that other people, I see this in them and it's not myself? Let me admit this, my brethren. Actually, I can see this in myself. How many times I spoke about loving each other and meanwhile I dealt with people in a harsh way. How can I free myself from hypocrisy? When you speak about mercy, okay, being merciful, can we say that we are 100% merciful? Speaking about being selfless, sometimes we have this impression that I serve other people and I do everything for them and nothing it is in it for me. I can admit that this is not true. For myself, there were occasions I was selfish. I'm still is, and I struggle with this. Again, we cannot really look at other people and say, this kind of problem is for others. We export it for them, but it's not for me. Let us realize that we are all stained with all kinds of sins to a different degree. Maybe I can say this something is little, but I have it. I have the illness that I look to other people and feel disgusted whenever I see this kind of problem in them. Who of us can say that I am free of any kind of sin? The seventh one is related to God himself. As I said, ego is like a tumor. All what we can do to this tumor, because we are very kind to ourselves, it's just like to touch it, maybe try to push it. But the only one who can really like excise this and cut it is God himself. And God is so kind, he does not want to hurt us. Sometimes he maybe make some kind of trauma, but not that big enough. When he allows us situation to be traumatized, to be insulted or humiliated, he is treating our ego. When we get angry, as if like that we are running away from the therapy. Look what Sirach is saying. Joshua, the son of Sirach, says, accept everything that will happen to you and persevere in your sorrow and have patience in your humiliation. وَأَصْبُرْ عَلَى صُرُوفِ اتَّضَاعَكْ. Rabbina wants us to be humble. And sometimes he allows us to be humiliated, to fail. And above all, my brethren, it is our weaknesses and our daily sins that humiliate us beyond anything else. When we accept this, we see it clearly and say that it is because of my sin, then we learn how to be humble. Then by then, our ego will be truly, like in a way, getting this kind of treatment from God. God is trying to kill it, but in a merciful way, so not to hurt us. To understand the wisdom behind tribulations and our lingering sins and incidents of humiliation and failure, all of this part of what is God is allowing to us in order to be able to walk to the virtue of humility. As also Joshua, the son of Sirach, says, for gold and silver are tested in fire, yet truly acceptable men are tested in the furnace of humiliation. If God is allowing a difficult circumstances, allowing you in a way to endure any kind of tribulation. Remember Job. What was Job's problem? Job had this kind of sense of being self-righteous. And God wanted to clear him from this. He allowed him to go to the furnace of the tribulation to get him out as a more humble person. Saint Paul the Apostle, that only taking handkerchief and touching his body would be enough. This handkerchief would heal diseases. He was sick himself. He asked God 3 times to heal him. Didn't happen. Why? God wanted to keep him safe and humble. Wanted to spare him to be buffed up beyond measure, and he might lose his own salvation because of the sin of pride. Every time we look at Saint Mary, we look at an icon of humility. And this icon is set before us not only to ask for her prayers and enjoy her motherly love, but also to imitate and try to learn from her. Let us make our prayer today for her. Teach us, Saint Mary, how to be humble truly. Help us to struggle on this difficult road to attain this virtue, that without it, no one can be saved. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.